Welcome to the Linux Guy Guru, and now your host, Jay Benjamin.
Hi, my name is Jay Benjamin. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Linux Guy Guru. Our topic for today's program is Secrets of Firefox. I will be sharing with you many features that can be used to take full advantage of the internet browser. In this program, you will learn how to master the web with the hidden features of the Firefox open source browser. This program would not be complete without a brief introduction to the internet. The internet itself was first brought to life by the United States Department of Defense in 1969. It was called ARPANET, after the Department of Defense's Advanced Research Projects Agency. The internet was designed to build a network that would withstand major catastrophe, and this was at the peak of the Cold War. It soon grew to encompass more and more networks to build the internet. Then in 1991, Tim Berners-Lee of CRN developed the idea of the World Wide Web, including Hypertext Transfer Protocol, or HTTP, and Hypertext Markup Language, HTML, and this gave us what we now know to be the Internet. So getting started, we'll begin with Firefox. Firefox is one of the most popular web browsers, and in fact, the default web browser in Ubuntu. Mozilla Firefox is the parent company, and it is built on a solid code base that is derived from the Mozilla suite. Firefox offers an open source and a more secure alternative to Internet Explorer for surfing the Internet regardless of your operating system. Mozilla Firefox helps you rediscover the web. Firefox enables you to add on numerous extensions and further enhancing your experience. And we'll go over those things today. If you're using Ubuntu 16.04, you can find Firefox by searching the dash for Firefox. Just look for the icon. Beyond the basic program, there's a wealth of plugins and extensions that can increase the capabilities of Firefox beyond simple web browsing. Plugins such as Shockwave, Flash, and Java are available for installation instantly, offered to you when first needed, as are multimedia codecs for viewing video content. Extensions provide useful additions to the browsing experience. For example, Forecast Fox is an extension that gives you your local weather conditions, and Bandwidth Meter and Diagnostics is a tool that calculates your current bandwidth. There are many more extensions and plugins that you can use to enhance your browsing experience. You can easily find and obtain these plugins and extensions because Mozilla developers have increased a site dedicated to helping you get more from Firefox. You don't have to search to find the site, as there is a link in the Firefox menu at Tools, Add-ons, Get Add-ons that take you directly to it. Particular favorites are the AdBlock Plus and the StumbleUpon plugins. AdBlock Plus enables you to nuke all those annoying banners and animations that take up so much bandwidth while you are browsing. StumbleUpon is a neat plugin that takes you to web pages based on your preferences. Be warned, though, that StumbleUpon can be quite addictive, and you'll find you'll be wasting up many hours clicking the Stumble button. You can easily enable Flash in your browser by installing the Flash plugin -install package, or better yet, you can deal with the whole issue of codecs and functionality for your entire operating system right off by installing Ubuntu-restricted extras. Either way, Ubuntu downloads the official package from Adobe and installs it on your system. A browser restart is required before you try to access any Flash-enabled content. Note, Adobe recently stated it will cease to support Flash on Linux. However, Google Chrome includes Flash support and is doing so with Adobe's blessings. If you need Flash, you will probably need to use Google Chrome as your browser. And to make things easier, if you have not yet installed this package and visit a web page that requires Flash, a pop-up window appears with information and a link to help you install it easily. So now we'll take a look at some of the secrets of Firefox and help us all master the web with these hidden features of the flagship open source browser. If there's one project that has brought more new users to open source software than any other, it's Firefox. This web browser rose out of the now defunct Mozilla suite and came to dominate the web. Though it now faces stiffer competition, as other new browsers have come along and challenged for online supremacy, Firefox is highly rated. Quoting from an article at Linux Voice, the magazine thinks that Firefox is still the best web browser around, but it takes a bit of experience to get the most out of it. And I'm going to give you now some of the features that Linux Voice and I both think you'll find particularly useful. And in the number one spot, the top feature is tab control. Most Firefox users are comfortable using tabs to keep multiple websites open at a time, but Firefox tabs are more powerful than this. Pinning tabs, right-clicking on the tab and select Pin tab, keeps the tab on the left-hand side and the browser opens that site automatically when launched. If you use large numbers of tabs, you may find it easier to keep track of all the pages by grouping tabs. Press Ctrl plus Shift plus E to enter the tab group screen to ease tab management. Next on the list is number 2, privacy. There are a wide range of options to increase your privacy when using Firefox. Disabling third-party cookies, edit, preferences, privacy, history, use custom settings for history, accept third-party cookies, or never, is a simple way of cutting down the number of sites that can track your browsing. If you want to go further, add-ons like Privacy Badger from the EFF and NoScript enable you to make intelligent choices about how you want your browser to work. And number 3, developer tools. These enable you to get a better insight into how the browser is going to be working. For instance, you can use them to analyze a web page's performance, debug its CSS, and inspect the HTML. Whether you're building a website or investigating someone else's, there is no better tool to understanding how the web works. And number 4 is add-ons. Firefox gets a few more features every release, but it'll never have everything that everyone wants. However, it does enable you to get the features you're missing by using add-ons. For an example, if you want a YouTube downloader, you simply go to add-ons and type in the search bar, YouTube downloader, and it'll give you a number of choices. And it's just a matter of pointing and clicking, and you'll get what you need. And if you'd like a full list of add-ons, just go to https://addons.mozilla.org to see what's available. And number 5 is themes. If you like to jazz up your desktop and your browser, then themes is for you. If the default gray is a little boring for you, you can spice up your browser's look with a new theme. There are a special type of add-on that just affects the look of the browser, leaving its features unchanged. You can take a look at the options, but be warned, some of them aren't too pretty, but to each their own. If you want to see more on the feature of the themes, just go to https://addons.mozilla.org/en-firefox/themes. And number 6 on the list is called Pocket. This is a mobile app that enables you to save web pages for offline viewing. If you install Pocket on your mobile or your tablet, then you can press the Pocket button in Firefox on your desktop on a page you want to save. Your portable device will then download the page and make it available offline. And number 7, bookmark management. Visit the same pages often? Bookmarks make it easy to go back without having to remember the address. You can also make it easy to manage your bookmarks by grouping them into folders. To easily enable access to your bookmarks, you can add a toolbar to the main Firefox window by by going to View, Toolbars, Bookmarks, Toolbar, and adding them to the new tab page. Use the pin icon when they appear, and happy browsing. And Firefox comes with a very user-friendly help menu that'll make it easy every step of the way. And if you're looking for a backup browser, check out Google Chrome and Chromium. Anyone who's been paying attention to tech news has heard about the explosive appearance of Google Chrome, which has gone from being the new kid on the block to a firm contender for most popular browsers in just a few years. This browser is fast, secure, expandable with extensions, and the hottest new toys on geek desktops. It is based on WebKit and other technology, and it downloads and renders quickly while being standard compliant. You can learn more about the easy installation of Google Chrome at www.google.chrome/chrome?platform=Linux. Many of you who are listening are familiar with Chrome, and Chrome is not completely open source, but the main foundational parts are open source and are available at Google Chromium, which is what we're talking about today, Google Chromium, which has most of the functionality of Chrome, but it is missing the Google branding, automatic updates, and is used as the test and development foundation for Chrome release. As a point of interest, Chromium is the metal from which Chrome is made, hence the name. If you want to learn more about Chromium, go to http://code.google.com/Chromium. And installing Chromium is easy. You simply have to go to the Software Center repositories and you can install it from there. How cool is that? And if you're looking for more of a lightweight browser, you can install Opera. In this next segment, we'll talk about choosing an email client. Back in the early days of Unix, there were various text-based email clients such as ELM and Pine. Although they look basic, they allow the average user to interact with email, both for composing and reading correspondence, and they had some sophisticated and useful features that might not have been expected, such as filtering and searching tools. Still, when computing became mainstream, there was a realization that people wanted friendly graphical user interfaces, or GUIs as they're called. Soon, there came a flood of email clients, some of them even cross-platform and compatible among Linux, Windows, Mac OS X, and even traditional Unix. So I'll begin by discussing the Mozilla Thunderbird email client. Thunderbird is the sister program to Firefox. Starting with Ubuntu 11.10, Thunderbird has been the default email application in Ubuntu. Whereas Firefox is designed to browse the web, Thunderbird's specialty is communication. It can handle email, network news, and RSS feeds. Mozilla's Thunderbird is a lightweight email client and can be found in use all over the world. And as with Firefox on Thunderbird, there are many plugins and extensions to enhance your email. You can also use Thunderbird for Usenet news reading. And then there's Evolution. Up until Ubuntu 11.10, Evolution was the default email client in Ubuntu. Although to call it simply an email client is to sincerely underrate its usefulness as an application. Not only does it handle email, but it can also look after contacts and calendars and help you manage your tasks. I recommend Evolution strongly. I use it myself. And if you're planning on using Evolution, these are the things you must know. A, you need to have your email address, your incoming email server name and type, that is pop.email.com and IMAP. You'll need your username and password for the incoming mail server and your outgoing mail server name, that is, example, smtp.email.com. And these are some of the things you'll need to set up Evolution. And with Evolution, you can handle all your emails and contacts as well as appointments and track tasks. As many people are moving to web-based mail options such as Google's Gmail and Yahoo Mail, client-side email programs have started to decline in popularity. One thing that sets Evolution apart is that you can still use it for the other features and disable the email portion of the programming by selecting None as your mail transfer agent instead of POP or IMAP and so on and so forth. In addition, Evolution can interact with an existing web calendar program, and it uses one of the common formats such as CalDAV that enables you to use your calendar remotely as you are used to, but also permits the Ubuntu desktop to have access to your events and embed them into your desktop panel, which it does by default using Evolution. I'll also cover some other mail clients here. The mail clients that we've covered are only a few of these available. Claws is very popular because it offers spell check while typing and is well suited for use in large network environments in which network overhead and RAM usage are important considerations. Mutt is an older text-based email program that is still beloved by system admins for its configurability and feature settings, including the easy use of GPG keys for signing email. Alpine is another text-based program based on the classic Pine with a few upgrades. And KMail is used by lovers of the KDE desktop that is commonly run as a part of many Linux-based operating systems. All of these are more available for installation from the Ubuntu software repositories. In addition, all of the web-based email applications work just fine with Ubuntu, such as Gmail, Hotmail, and Yahoo Mail. Now I'll discuss RSS readers. RSS is one of the protocols of Web 2.0, the current generation of internet content. RSS has really taken off thanks to adoption by a large number of websites and portals. The key advantage of RSS is that you can quickly read news from your choice of websites at a time that suits you and from one location, meaning that you don't have to go to each site to visit their content. Some services offer just the article headlines, whereas others offer full articles for you to view. RSS feeds can be accessed in various ways, even through your web browser. And Firefox implements RSS feeds at what it calls live bookmarks, which are essentially bookmarks with sub-bookmarks, each linking to a new page from your chosen website. Some people like to have several news sites grouped together in a folder called News in the Firefox toolbar because this allows them to quickly browse to a collection of sites and pick out articles of interest. And then there's Lifera. Of course, not everyone wants to read RSS feeds with the browser. The main problem with reading RSS feeds with Firefox is that you get to see only the headline rather than an actual text. And this is where a dedicated RSS reader comes in handy. And there's many people's opinion that Lifera is one of the best readers out there. Reading your daily news feeds with Lifera, a fantastic and easy-to-use RSS feed reader, Lifera is not included by default, but is available from the repositories under the name Lifera. After you install it, you can find it by searching your DAS for Lifera. By default, Lifera offers a number of RSS feeds, including Planet Debian, Groklaw, and Slashdot. Adding a new feed is straightforward. You select New Subscription under the Feeds menu and paste the URL of the RSS feed into the box. Lifera then retrieves all the current items available through that field and displays the feed name on the left side for you to select, and all you have to do is start reading. And now we'll discuss instant messaging and video conferencing with Empathy. Instant messaging is one of the biggest ways for people to interact over the web. America Online was the primary force behind this, especially in America, but other networks and systems soon entered the market, providing users with a wealth of choice. No longer just a consumer tool, instant messaging is now part of the corporate world, with many companies deploying internal instant messaging software for collaboration. Empathy is the default messaging program in Ubuntu. You can find it by searching the dash for Empathy. It supports text, voice, and video chat, as well as file transfers using common protocols such as Google Talk, AIM, and more. All you have to do is know your account information with a specific service and enter it into Empathy, and the rest is easy. You can learn more about Empathy by going to https://help.ubuntu.com/community/empathy. And now we'll discuss Internet Relay Chat. Ubuntu provides a number of graphical IRC clients and repositories, including XChat, Pigeon, and Quazzle. You can even use Empathy, although other products are better suited for this specific task. Ubuntu also makes the console clients Epic and IRC available in the repositories for those who eschew X and a graphical interface. XChat, which I just mentioned, is a very popular IRC client and the most common recommendation for IRC. Newcomers using Ubuntu might try to use that as a beginning. After you install the program, the documentation for XChat is available at /user/share/doc/XChat. It's a good idea to do that before you begin. It also includes an introduction and covers some of the basics of IRS. The XChat application enables you to assign yourself up to 3 nicknames. You can also specify your real name and your username. Because many people choose not to use their real names in IRC chat, you are free to enter any names you desire in any of the spaces provided. You can select multiple nicknames. You might be banned from an IRC channel under one name, and you could then rejoin then using another. If this seems slightly juvenile to you, you are beginning to get an idea of the type of behavior on many IRC channels, but not the ones where serious developers and YouTube community interactions take place. After you select a channel, you can join in the conversation, which appears as on-screen text. The message scrolls down the screen as new messages appear. For an example, you can go to irc://help.ubuntu.com/community/internet-relay-chat. And lastly, Usenet newsgroups. The concept of newsgroups revolutionized the way information was exchanged between people across the network. The Usenet network news system created a method for people to electronically communicate with large groups of people with similar interests. Many of the concepts of Usenet news are embodied in other forms of collaborative communication. The header lines identify information about and by whom the article was posted. The body of the message should contain only standard text characters. No binary characters or files should be posted within news articles. And the collection of articles posted in response to a common topic is called a thread. A thread can contain many articles as users post messages in response to other posted messages. Some newsreader programs allow users to track articles based on the threads to which they belong. This helps simplify the organization of articles in the news group. Whether or not your Ubuntu machine is set up as a news server, you can use a newsreader program to read newsgroup articles. The newsreader program requires just a connection to a news server. It doesn't matter whether the news server is on the same machine or is a remote news server or on the other side of the world. We've covered a great deal of information in today's program. I recommend that you download each and every episode. Get yourself a composition notebook to write down all that you've learned. Thoughts have a way of escaping, and that is why I encourage you, the listener, to write it down. Remember, knowledge is power, and having a radio program that will give you many of the shortcuts to learning Linux is invaluable. The information is priceless. I recommend that you make an investment in yourself to take the time to learn Linux. Just by converting an old laptop to a Linux-based distribution, you'll save hundreds of dollars by not having to purchase a new desktop or a laptop computer. If you've enjoyed today's program, tell a friend. We need your help and support in making this program a success. In the show's description, you'll find notes with some helpful links that pertain to many of the topics that we've discussed today. Our next show's topic of discussion will be productivity applications, and we'll discuss LibreOffice. For many of you out there listening who may be new to LibreOffice, I'd like to introduce it here. LibreOffice contains a number of productivity applications for use in creating text documents, preparing spreadsheets, organizing presentations, managing projects, and so on. The following components of the LibreOffice package are included with Ubuntu: Writer for word processing, Calculator for spreadsheets, Impress for presentations, similar to Microsoft PowerPoint, and will enable you to create slideshows, presentations, include graphs, diagrams, and other graphics. And many businesses have already found a way to benefit from free and open source software, such as Office productivity suites like LibreOffice. These have the cost benefit of not having to pay license fees or support costs. In the next episode, we'll go over all the productivity applications in LibreOffice. I think everyone will find this very entertaining, amusing, interesting, and beneficial to their growth using Linux operating systems. If you'd like to reach out to the show, you can email us at linuxguyguru@gmail.com. Till next time, your host, Jay Benjamin, logging out. Thank you.